The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Welcome to the joyful chaos that we call Family Worship Sunday. So it is, if you are brand new with us, the fifth Sunday, every fifth Sunday of a month, we shut down Summit Kids, and we have everybody gathered together as one church family, and it's a little wiggly and a little noisy and a little tight and a lot wonderful, and so we are excited that you are with us today. We have a very special family worship service today, and excited to be able to tell us just a full disclosure. My message today is for the kiddos in the room. So just a heads up, all right? So when we get to Acts chapter 8, we're going to tell a little bit of a story. My hope is that it is geared toward 12 and under. And if you're over 12, I hope you're entertained and or catch a few things, all right? We our aim on these mornings, if you're a little concerned, is to keep our service to about an hour or 55 minutes. Highly participatory, and then this morning, we have the very special privilege of celebrating baptism here in just a moment, and I'm very excited to be able to do that and expect it to be a celebration, all right? So let's get loud here in just a bit. But we are, like, these are different mornings. These are, again, wiggly mornings. These are noisy mornings, but these are still opportunities to worship the Lord together as a church family. And so we're going to do that. So would you stand with me as we prepare our hearts for worship? This is Psalm 95, the first seven verses. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord, he is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Father, would you bless our gathering this morning? Would you give us joy in you? And even in the noisy wiggles, would they remind us of life and vitality and the invitation, Jesus, that our faith mirror the open-handed, honest faith of a child that comes to you. We love you, and we need you, and we ask all of this in your good name. Amen. Let's sing together.
You is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. That you would take my place, that you would bear. of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, of faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I remain steadfast. And let my heart burn when you speak a word, it will come to
You can grab a seat if you would. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get started. If you're a guest and you've never done this before, we have guest cards on the table out there in the vestibule, atrium, lots of things you could call it. But on the table right out there, would love for you to grab one of those, fill it out, drop it in one of the offering baskets before you go so that I can follow up with you this week. And just would love to invite you to get connected here to the people of Summit. We got amazing folks that call this place home would love for you to join if you don't have a church home. Starting in about a week and a half, we pushed pause on all of our life groups and Summit Disciple groups this fall, kind of our formation environments, and we're coming together on Wednesday evenings, starting on September the 9th, for dinner about 5:15, and then discipleship from 6:15 to 7:30, and we are excited about that. We also are bumping up against a need, as you can hear, for some additional help with childcare. And we are exercising as many connections to get folks here to help out so that all of the people of Summit Spartanburg can participate. But you received an email from me on Friday that just invited you to sign up for one slot on one Wednesday to sacrifice time in with the gathering to help serve the families of Summit by hanging out with the kiddos. And so if everybody would, whether you're signed up for Wednesday nights or not, you do need to have a background check, but on the night when you serve or nights when you serve, your dinner will be provided. And so for free, and would love for you to, would really ask you to consider helping fill in those gaps and loving and serving the families of Summit Spartanburg so that even if we got to pull from our own people and we got to give up a Wednesday night when we would be participating, we only ask you to give up one of those. And so anyway, I think we can fill those gaps, but would ask you to do that and consider serving in that way. All right. Who's ready for a story? Who likes stories? You like stories? I love stories. Me too, sweet girl. That's my kid, I can say that. One great thing about stories is that they're easy to remember. Can be. I have two girls, they're in elementary school, and if I ask them when they come home from the end of a day, hey, how was school? More specifically, if I ask them, hey, what did you learn today? I'm going to get a lot of, I don't know. Teacher wrote some things. And my related arts was library today. That's what I'm going to get from them on the educational side of things. But I know it's an exaggeration. I'm telling a story. But if I ask them, hey, what happened at recess? My girls are going to be able to tell you like what so-and-so said to so-and-so and how they were chasing so-and-so around the playground and they fell and they skinned up their knee and here's what they did afterwards and here's what the nurse was wearing because they had to take the person down to the nurse and they had to call their mom and dad. And so, like, all the details are going to come spilling out because they're stories that they're remembering and rehearsing. And so today, I want to tell you a story from the book of Acts. And the whole book of Acts tells an even bigger story of how after Jesus ascended to heaven, his followers started to tell lots and lots of people the good news that Jesus died for their sins and rose again, and the church grew. And so the book of Acts, we told a story from Acts last week as well, is full of incredible stories. And I'd encourage you to go read the whole thing. But the story that I want to tell you today that reminds us just how big and powerful our God is comes from Acts chapter 8. So if you don't have a Bible, we got one in the pew in front of you or the pew behind you if you're in the front row. And if you don't have a Bible, take that home with you. It's yours to keep. But the title of our story from Acts 8 today is Philip and the Curious Man. Philip and the Curious Man. Told you I wrote this for kids. So here's what I want to do before we open God's word. And that's what this is. We believe that this is a message from God to the world. And so these are his words. So we want to ask for his help before we open it and study it together. All right. So would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit who helps us to understand and apply it. Thank you for your people and the gift that it is to be a part of your church. We love you. We need you. Amen. All right. Somebody's ready. Let's let the rest of us be ready. There once was a man named Philip. Philip was a faithful man. And he loved God, and he helped to lead God's people in following Jesus. And one day, Kevin, you're the best, man. And one day, he got a special visitor. And this special visitor was an angel. And an angel is a messenger from heaven. And this angel came to Philip and said, hey, God wants you to go to this one specific spot in the desert. That's it. That's all he said. It's all that he tells us that he said in Scripture. I don't know about you, but if I'm Philip, I might be asking for a little more information. Can I ask why, please? I don't know. I got some things going on here today. I'd like a little more information as to why the Lord would like me to go to this hot, dry, rocky place this afternoon. What should I pack? What am I going to be doing? We don't know if Philip asked those questions. The Bible doesn't mention it. It just says he went. Which I think tells us that Philip trusted that God had a pretty good reason to send him to the desert. And it turns out he did. Because it just so happened that there was another man traveling along that desert road on that day, and we're going to call him the curious man. And I'm going to tell you in just a little bit why I call him the curious man. But before I tell you that, let me give you a few more details about this guy. He was from a kingdom called Ethiopia, long way away from where they were at the time. And not only was he from a kingdom called Ethiopia, he wasn't just a somebody from Ethiopia. He was a very, very important man with a very, very important job. He was the royal banker. He was in charge of the queen of Ethiopia's money. And this important man, who had a lot of power, who was probably very wealthy, had come to Jerusalem, the city where Jesus had died on the cross and rose again, to worship. But he didn't come because he wanted to worship Jesus, because he didn't really know about Jesus. He just knew that in Jerusalem there was a temple to the one true God, and he wanted to worship this one true God there. And so Acts 8 tells us all of this. This curious man is riding down the road in the middle of the desert, and while he's riding along in his chariot, do you know what he's doing? He's reading. How many of you, let's stick with the kids, not everybody, how many of you can read in the car? Just unbelievable. I get so sick. I don't know how y'all do it. But he's reading, so he's riding along in a chariot, which I would imagine is a little more difficult than reading in a car because you got a lot of this, right? It's a dry and rocky place. He's trying to, and he doesn't have like an e-reader. He has a scroll, right? So it's just doing this as he's reading along. But he's reading from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. So he's coming down the road. Just picture this. He's coming down the road, and he's got all his fancy clothes on, and he's got his chariot. It's probably fancy, too, and he's got guards around him because, remember, he's in charge of the queen of Ethiopia's money, and he's got servants, probably, because he's very wealthy and very important, And here's Philip just sitting on the side of the road, waiting, kicking it on a rock. And as soon as he sees this man's chariot coming down the road, the Lord gives Philip another little nudge. Hey, go talk to that guy. Go talk to that guy. And I love this about Philip, because God tells him to do something, and my man just does it. He walks right over to this fancy, important, wealthy man's chariot, and he asks him a question. Philip asks him, this is a little presumptuous. Do you understand what you're reading? That's the question that he asks him. Like, can you imagine walking up to somebody at a restaurant who's reading a book, or in a park, or in a library, or in class, and being like, hey, you look a little slow. Do you understand what it is that you're reading? Like, I can't imagine that. I think it might bother me if somebody asked me that. It doesn't bother the curious man. Here's how he responds to Philip's question, and this is why I named him the curious man for this story. He responds in this way. He says, how can I understand unless someone guides me? How can I understand unless someone guides me? And then he just asks Philip, you seem to be like a guy who does, in fact, understand what this is all about. How about you come sit beside me in this chariot? We're going to roll down the road and teach me. That's exactly what Philip does. And guess what? The passage that this man had been reading just happened to be from Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I know all y'all have that on lock in your minds, Isaiah 53. But I want to read, in case you don't, what it says. And see if you can think of who Isaiah might have been talking about when he wrote it. All right? So be thinking, who's Isaiah talking about? Here's what the curious man was reading from Isaiah 53. And this is Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. It says, now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. All right. So he's reading that from Isaiah 53. And he's thinking, well, whose life was taken away? Who is described as the sheep or the lamb of God? That's the question the curious man asks Philip. Who is this about? Any ideas? This is participatory. Kiddos, who's this about? It's about God? Yeah, can we be a little more specific? Absolutely. Jesus, yes. It's always the right answer. Always the right answer. But he asks, the curious man asks Philip, who is this about? And you got to imagine that at this point, Philip, it just smiles, because he recognized what God had done. God had him come to the desert at this exact time to meet this exact man so that he could answer this man's precise question. The answer is Jesus. And so Philip says, I'd love to tell you all about him. And he does. He tells this curious man all about Jesus, about how the prophecies from the Old Testament had promised that Jesus would come to save God's people, about how Jesus died for the sins of the world according to those prophecies, about how he rose again. And guess what happens next? The text doesn't outright say it, but I think we can imply it. But based on what happens, we can trust that the curious man believes. He believes that Isaiah was talking about Jesus. He believes that Jesus died for his sins and rose again. He believes in Jesus as his Savior. And as they're riding down the road, Philip and the curious man together, they come across some water in the desert. Maybe it was a stream. Maybe it was a pool. But when he sees it, the man asks Philip, who had obviously been talking about baptism while he told the curious man about Jesus, he goes, "Hey, I see some water. I'd like to be baptized. Can I be baptized? Why can't I be baptized?" And Philip's thinking at this time probably, well, you know Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Turns out there's nothing that's keeping you from being baptized. And so right there in a pool or a stream or whatever of water in the desert by a man he just met, the curious man declares his faith in Jesus through baptism. It's beautiful. Now there are two things that I want you to remember from the story of Philip and the curious man in Acts 8. Number one, Philip obeyed God, and God used him to change the curious man's life forever. Right? This isn't the same story if Philip doesn't go when the angel tells him to go, or he doesn't walk to the chariot when the Lord tells him to talk about Jesus to the man in the chariot. It had to be awkward. Maybe he was nervous about how the curious man would respond. Maybe he was a little afraid to go to the desert by himself. But he obeyed the Lord anyway. He told the man about Jesus, and God used him to change the curious man's life forever. And number two, the curious man believed in Jesus and obeyed him. It's as simple as that. He didn't pretend to have all the answers. He honestly asked his questions and heard about Jesus. And he realized that faith in Jesus leads it to obedience to Jesus, and said, Jesus was baptized. Jesus told his disciples to baptize others. How about I get baptized too? In just a moment, we're going to watch someone from our church family get baptized. What you're going to see when Elliot goes under the water, it isn't a magical thing. There's no magic in that water. But it's Elliot's way of saying the same thing that the curious man said: I want to obey Jesus and let the world know that I love him and follow him. So as you think about this story, maybe you need to think about Philip. All right? Think about Philip. Maybe you need to ask God to give you the courage to be faithful and obey him. Maybe that looks like telling your friend about Jesus. Maybe it means being kind to somebody who seems like they're a little bit on the outside of other friend groups at school. Maybe it means having a different attitude toward your parents or your siblings at home. Maybe it means trusting that God really can use you as young as you are to change somebody's life. Maybe you're like the curious man, and you got questions, but you've been afraid to ask them. Maybe you got questions about Jesus like he did. Maybe you want to know more about baptism. Maybe you want to know what it means to follow Jesus. It is good to ask those questions, and you got a bunch of people around you today who want to help answer those with you and for you. Start with your family, and then know that you can come talk to me, or lots of other people in this church, and we'll help answer those questions for you, but please don't be afraid to ask. Philip had faithful courage. The curious man had a humble heart that led him to obey Jesus. That's the story of Philip and the curious man. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we need you. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for the example of Philip and the curious man. Would you help us to be obedient to you? Would you help us to trust that you are good and that you have good plans for us? And would you help us to celebrate your faithfulness for the rest of our time together today? Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.